This is Nightmare in Wisconsin.
The trial of Taylor Shabusiness. Accusations of first-degree intentional homicide, strangulation, mutilation, dismemberment, and necrophilia.
We bring you raw, unfiltered courtroom audio from the trial of Taylor Shabusiness. Nightmare in Wisconsin.
Kurt Brester, B-R-E-S-T-E-R.
Okay, then the witness is yours, Mr. Saunders. Can you tell us how you're employed?
I'm a patrol sergeant with the City of Green Bay Police Department.
How long have you been employed in law enforcement?
Approximately 15 years.
Is the entirety of that time with the Green Bay Police Department?
It is not.
Okay. And how long have you been with Green Bay?
11 years.
You mentioned you're currently a sergeant, is that right?
Yes.
And I guess what are some of your duties as a sergeant as opposed to a patrol officer?
There's a wide range of responsibilities for sergeant, from administrative and scheduling work to managing larger scales calls.
In some respects, you act as sort of like a supervisor for a shift?
Correct, yes.
But you still work patrol?
Yes.
So is it the case that you still respond to incidents?
Yes, sir.
And were you a patrol sergeant in February of 2022?
Yes.
I want to ask you about February 23rd of that year. At about 3:24 a.m., did you respond at some point to a call on Stony Brook Lane?
Yes.
And what was the reason you responded to that residence?
We had received a call that a resident inside that house had found what she believed was a severed head inside of a bucket.
Were you the first officer who arrived?
I was not.
And who? Which officers were those?
Officer Wanish and Officer Plonky arrived on scene prior to my arrival.
And when you got there, I guess, what happened?
When I arrived, I made contact with Officer Wanish outside, and he explained to me what he had seen in the basement of his residence. And that's when I had entered the residence at that time.
Okay. And what did you do when you entered?
Well, I made contact with two individuals in the kitchen, and I explained to them, due to the severity of what was happening, we were going to do a protective sweep of the residence.
And a protective sweep, that's essentially looking for people that may have been in the house?
Correct. For the safety of us and others inside the house that we're speaking with.
Apart from the two individuals you encountered in the kitchen, was anyone else found in the residence?
There was a juvenile female in a bedroom on the first floor that we had contact with during our protective sweep, yes.
Okay. And I guess was she essentially woken up by officers?
Yes, and we had her go back into the kitchen by the other two adults.
And you indicated you didn't locate any other persons in the residence?
Correct.
At that point, Officer Wanish had previously told you about what he observed in the basement, is that right?
Yes.
During the course of your protective sweep, are you going through the entirety of the residence?
Yes.
Including the basement?
Yes, sir.
And when you're in the basement, did you observe any other parts of a human body?
I did not see any more parts of a human body, no.
Okay. And did you locate any areas of suspected blood or other related material?
Yes, there were red spots on the concrete floor that was consistent with blood. And also, I was advised by another officer that there was a piece of...
Objection hearsay, Your Honor?
Not necessarily offering it for the truth, Judge.
Yeah, overruled. Go ahead and answer.
A piece that would appear to be a bone fragment or fatty tissue on a drain on a stand-up shower in the basement.
And so you mentioned the areas of suspected blood were drops, is that right?
Correct.
Were there areas of large-scale pooling at all?
I did not see any, no.
Okay. So were the drops that you observed, where were those located?
They were on the concrete floor, from what I recall, near the bucket.
Okay. Other areas of the basement, did you observe anything of that nature other than what you talked about earlier? And what did you do after the sweep of the residence?
I again made contact with the adults upstairs and advised, or I asked if we could ultimately have consent to search the rest of the residence regarding to the crime, and we obtained verbal consent at that point.
So the initial responding officers, you're doing the protective sweep to look for people. Is there a larger scale, search of the house?
At that point, no.
Okay. Is that done by other members of your department?
Yes, later on in the incident, yes.
And did they ultimately arrive to the house as well?
Yes.
Thank you, Sergeant. I have nothing further.
Cross-examination.
Sergeant Brester, morning.
Morning.
You were on uniform patrol on February 23rd of 2022?
Yes, sir.
What was your shift?
I was a night shift sergeant at the time, so I started at 10 p.m. and worked until 6:30 a.m.
And you were on patrol in a different area in the Adam District, correct?
Yes, I was on a other call at the time.
Okay. And were you asked to come over to 829 Stony Brook Lane?
Yes, sir.
Who asked you to come over there?
Officer Wanish.
Okay. And was it regarding a suspicious situation over there on Stony Brook?
Yes.
Did you hear something from dispatch? Did they give you any details as to why you were supposed to go over there?
Yes, while I was on the initial call I was on, I did hear the Stony Brook call being dispatched out, and I did hear the nature of the call at that time, yes.
So then you left the Adams District, went over to Stony Brook, and where did you park?
From what I remember, I parked on the street not far from the actual address of the incident.
And you walked up on the sidewalk?
Sidewalk into the driveway, correct.
Okay. And did you see Officer Plonky and Officer Wanish there then outside?
Yes.
And did they kind of brief you on what was going on?
Yes.
Was that outside?
I believe it was outside, yes. Okay.
And did you try to figure out a game plan as to what to do?
Yes.
Officer Wanish needed your assistance because this was kind of an unusual situation. Is that fair?
Correct.
And they wanted you as the supervisor, as the sergeant, to kind of verify what they were seeing, correct?
Yes.
And you had responded to this location at 829 Stony Brook Lane with your emergency lights and sirens on, correct?
Yes, sir.
It was a kind of a dire emergency situation, correct?
From what we're gathering at the point, yes.
So then you walked inside the residence?
Yes.
And who did you talk to first?
I talked with a male and a female at the kitchen table. I believe her name was Tara and the male was Stephen.
Okay. And did you have any concerns about what they were saying?
Not what they were saying. I don't know if they're in shock, but they were. He appeared to be drinking alcohol, but other than that, I think, there was nothing out of the ordinary at the time.
You were able to converse with them?
Yes.
And then were you asked to go down in the basement to check it out?
Yes.
And did you?
Yes.
Did you have patrol gloves on?
I cannot recall.
Okay. Tell me what happened when you started your descent down into the basement.
Well, we went down in the basement, and from what I remember, I asked where the bucket was, and we found the bucket at the bottom of the stairs off to the right. And there was what appeared to be some kind of toweling or cloth over the bucket, and we opened it up, and I confirmed that it appeared to be a human severed head.
Okay. And when you were down in the basement, were the other officers down there, Plonky and Wanish?
I believe at least one came down there with me. I thought maybe one stayed upstairs with the two adults.
Okay. Just to maintain?
Right.
Then did you decide to call for additional assistance?
We did at that time, yes.
Was it your call?
Yes.
Who else did you call to come over?
The other officers that were on scene, and then we had another sergeant was working as the shift commander at the time, and he began making phone calls to Detective Division and additional supervisors above my rank.
Okay. This residence at 829 Stony Brook, was it essentially three levels with a basement, a floor level, and then an upstairs?
I know for sure the basement and the main level. I can't remember about the upstairs. I believe there was an upstairs.
Did you go up there and check it out?
I remember for sure the basement and the first floor.
Okay. You found no other people besides Tara, Stephen, and Ava, correct?
Correct.
You didn't see Taylor Shabizis there, correct?
No, sir.
You didn't see any body parts there, correct?
Besides the severed head, that's it.
The downstairs, was it fair that it was sort of in disarray?
It was it appeared to be a live-in basement bedroom that somebody was living in. Yes.
How long did it take before Mr. Hendricks, Ms. Pakinich, or Ms. Wheelock were, you know, taken out of the home and brought down to the police department?
I would say within the first 20 minutes, half hour I was there.
Yeah. And was her bedroom on the ground level off the kitchen?
Whose bedroom?
Ms. Wheelock. Was her, Ava Wheelock, was her bedroom like on the same floor as the kitchen?
Yes, between the kitchen and the living room.
Can you describe that ground level when you come in that side door?
Sure. So you come up the side door, you walk up a few stairs into the kitchen to your left, and then when you go through the kitchen, there's a hallway that runs, I guess, north and south, with the living room on your right and the bedroom on the in the right as well, down the hallway.
Is there a bathroom there on the first floor?
I believe there was.
Okay. And that's all there is to the first floor? It's a very small house, correct?
Yeah, it's a smaller house.
Cape Cod style?
Yeah.
There's a separate garage there?
There was a detached garage, correct.
Did you see vehicles parked in the driveway on that particular evening?
Not that I could recall.
Okay. It's a while ago, correct?
Pardon?
This was a while ago,
yes,
correct? But it was dark outside and there was snow on the ground, correct?
Correct.
Kind of a cold night, correct?
Yes.
And then you asked Tara Pakinich if you could, you know, search the residence, correct?
Yes.
She gave written consent, yes?
Once she got to the police department, she put pen to paper on the consent, yes.
When you were there, Sergeant, did your other officers, Wanish and Plonky, start putting out police crime scene tape?
They did outside, yes.
Okay. Did they follow all the procedures?
Yes.
Was there any way that the crime scene was disturbed in any way, shape, or form?
No.
At this property, there's like a driveway and then there's a separate detached garage, correct?
Correct.
And there's a backyard too?
Yes.
Did you ask Tara Pakinich if she had moved the bucket at all?
Not that I recall.
Did you ask Stephen Hendricks if he moved the bucket at all?
No.
Was it your understanding that Ava Wheelock did not even go downstairs?
Correct.
And is it fair to say that prior to having additional detectives and supervisors come to the scene from the detective division, that you didn't do any other searching of the residence?
Correct.
You and the other two officers just kind of stood by and maintained the scene?
Yes.
And then other detectives then came, Detective Biller, Detective Scanlon, Lieutenant Strauf, correct?
Yes.
And did you brief all of them on what you knew?
Pardon?
Did you brief all of them
yes.
on what you knew?
Yeah.
Okay, nothing further. Thank you so much.
Redirect?
No, thank you.
Thank you. You can step down. And your next witness, Mr. Saunders.
State calls Stephen Hendricks.
Sir, if you just want to step up over here, and then before you have a seat, turn and face her and raise your right hand, she'll place you under oath.
Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in the matter now before the court, so help you God? Please have a seat and state your name for the record.
My name is Stephen Hendricks.
And then, sir, if you could move up a little closer to the microphone so we can hear you.
Stephen Hendricks.
All right, and with that, Mr. Saunders, the witness is yours.
All right. Is it okay if I refer to you as Steve?
Yes.
Okay. Steve, how old are you?
50.
Okay. And where do you live?
Green Bay.
Okay. And do you still live on Stony Brook Lake?
Yes.
And that's in Green Bay. What area of Green Bay is that?
West Side.
All right. How long have you lived at Stony Brook Lane?
Almost 3 years.
And who do you live there with?
Tara.
And what's Tara's last name?
Pakinich.
And are you in a relationship with Tara?
Yes.
All right. And how long has that been?
Almost 3 years.
Okay. And that's, I guess, why you live at that house now?
Yeah.
Okay. Does anyone else live at that house?
Part-time, Ava.
Okay.
And her daughter.
Who's Ava?
Tara's daughter.
And she still a juvenile?
Yes.
Did Tara have any other children who on occasion would be at the house?
Yes.
And who is that?
Shad.
And Shad, was that her son?
Yes.
And did he live there full-time, part-time? I guess what was that arrangement?
It was partially when he wanted to eat, change, or do his laundry and whatnot.
And I guess looking in like February of 2022, by that point, was Shad an adult?
Yes.
So I want to ask you, Steve, about February 21st, 2022. It was a Monday. Do you recall the date I'm talking about?
Yes.
And on that date, were you still living at the Stony Brook Lane house with Tara?
Yes.
On that date, did you have contact with Shad on that day?
Yes.
Okay. And I guess what happened on the 21st?
Well, the 21st during the day, it depends what you're referring to. There was several different occasions.
Sure. At some point, did you and Tara go to dinner?
Yes.
And who did you go to dinner with?
With Shad.
And do you remember where you went?
Courthouse Bar and Grill.
Is that also in Green Bay?
Yes, east side.
Do you remember what time you would have gone to dinner?
It was during the day. 3 years, maybe? I'm not positive, but...
Okay. And then were you there for a little bit of time?
Yes.
Do you remember what you did after dinner was done?
I believe we went home.
And what time would that have been, if you remember?
I'm not positive. It's still light out.
All right. And you went home. Do you mean the Stony Brook Lane house?
Yes.
And what happened when you got back to that house?
I don't recall, but I remember Shad leaving. I'm not sure.
Did you see who Shad left with?
Yes.
And who is that?
That was Taylor.
And did you know who Taylor was prior to that day?
I met her several times.
And I guess how did you, meet her? I guess what was that?
Through Shad.
Would she come over to the house?
Well, there was only one time prior that she was at the house, but they weren't in the house.
So it was just sort of in passing you had contact with Taylor?
Yes. I pulled in a driveway and they were trying to break into the house.
Okay. You had known Taylor prior to February 21st?
Just that one occasion.
Oh. And they left the Stony Brook house, is that right?
Yes.
Did you see how they left the house?
No, I did not.
Was Shad driving at that time?
I don't believe so. His truck was in the pound.
All right, so he didn't have a vehicle?
No, not at the time.
And I know it's a while ago. Do you remember what time they would have left the house?
Not exactly.
By that point, was it dark out or still light?
I believe it was still light out.
All right. And at any point that night, did Shad return to the home?
About 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning, somewhere around there.
So 1 or 2 in the morning, would that have been then into the morning of the 22nd?
Sure.
And what happened when Shad got home in the morning?
He rang the doorbell 6-7 times in a row. That's his little key, I guess.
Did you open the door for him?
Yes.
What door did they enter through?
We only use the back door of our place because that's where the driveway is. So that's the only door we use.
So the door that sort of is next to the driveway?
It's on the side of the house, yes.
All right. Do you use the front door?
No, not really.
Okay. Is that kind of locked?
It's kind of blocked. It's kind of blocked off. We have junk in front of it.
So is it that, whenever people are entering or leaving that home?
It's always the back side door.
Okay. And so Shad kind of rings the doorbell 6-7 times, you said, is that right?
Yeah.
Was anyone with him?
Yes.
Who?
Taylor.
And did you see how they had arrived at the home?
No, I did not. I just opened the door.
And what happened when you opened the door for them?
They came in and went right downstairs.
In that time, in that 1 or 2 a.m. on the 22nd there, did you notice anything out of the ordinary behavior-wise with either Shad or Taylor?
No.
Had you previously had contact with Taylor, right?
Yes.
Anything different from that time versus the prior times you met with her?
No.
When she came over earlier in the day to pick up Shad, did you have contact with Taylor then?
Yes, she came in the house.
Sort of asked the same questions. Was there any kind of odd behaviors that you were observing?
No.
So then when Taylor and Shad then go into the basement, how do you get to the basement from that door, that storm door?
Straight down the steps.
So it's
right by the door. The door continues to go down. If you take a left right at the top, you'll go into the kitchen. But if you go straight down, it goes to the basement.
So they go right down there. What do you do?
I went back upstairs. I went back to bed.
So I want to ask a few questions then about the layout of the home.
Okay.
So the area that you're talking about, the door, is that on the main level?
Yes.
Are there any bedrooms on that level of the home?
Yes.
And who is using those bedrooms?
One of them is just an empty room, an empty bed that Shad keeps his stuff in, and then Ava's room.
Okay.
That's on the main level.
Your room and Tara's room, I should ask first, do you share a room?
Yes, it's on the second floor.
Okay, that's on the second floor. Yes. Are there any other rooms on the second floor of the home?
No, it's just a long hall, closet space, and then a bedroom.
Okay. So after they go to the basement that morning, you go back up to the to your room?
Second floor, yes.
All right. And do you go back to sleep?
I'm not sure. Pretty sure.
Okay. After that point, do you have any other contact with Shad?
No, it was the last time I seen him.
And that was 1 or 2 a.m. on the 22nd?
Yes.
What about Taylor? Had you had any contact with Taylor after that point?
At one point, I was in the kitchen, and she had come upstairs, and I borrowed her a pair of reading glasses.
Do you remember when that was?
It was about 9:30 a.m.
Is it the same day that you're talking about?
Yes.
Would that be the 22nd?
The 22nd, yes.
So you're in the kitchen about 9:30 in the morning, and Taylor comes in the kitchen?
Yeah.
And I guess the kitchen, is that right off of those stairs?
It's right off the stairs, yes.
And I guess what happens when Taylor comes into the kitchen there?
Nothing. She asked if I had a pair of glasses. I had a pair. I wear readers, and I buy them by the case because I lose everything.
And then I guess, did she take those glasses?
Yeah.
Okay, I guess, were they, like, what kind of glasses were they?
They're just black glasses, black frame readers. They're just cheaters.
But like a black, is it like a thicker frame?
No, not really.
But just like more than a wire frame?
Yeah, it's just the black plastic, but they're not like super thick.
And during that time you had contact with Taylor there, did you notice anything out of the ordinary?
No.
Any sort of odd behaviors or anything like that?
Not that I was aware of.
So then the rest of that day, the 22nd there, what are you doing throughout that day?
arguing with Tara.
Okay. So you had a little bit of an argument throughout the day?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. Did you leave the home at any point?
Yes, I did.
And I guess at any point during that day, do you go into the basement?
No.
All right. And you left the residence. How long after that 9:30 a.m. time do you think you left the home?
Well, it wasn't far after that, about 40 minutes after that, maybe.
And then how long were you gone for?
About 6 hours.
So you got back to the home sometime in the late afternoon?
Probably, yeah. Right. That's it.
And when you got home, I guess, what is that evening like?
really couldn't say. I was out drinking, and I came home and passed out.
Okay. Anything, you know, out of the ordinary that you remember seeing?
No.
Okay. Still aren't going in the basement at any point?
No.
I then want to ask about the following, I guess, morning time. Do you remember anything happening of notes in that early morning of the 23rd?
Except for when I was woken up, you mean? Other than that?
Yeah, so were you woken up on that time?
I was woken up, yes.
And can you tell me what happened with that?
Tara had woken me up and said she thinks she found Chad, her son's, that's how she put it, I found my son's head in a bucket. So I'm dumbfounded. Didn't believe her. Thought she was having a mental issue or something.
Sure. So, do you remember what time this would have been?
It was had to be about between 2 and 3 in the morning. I know it was the middle of the night.
And you said you were woken up. Were you sleeping in that room up in the second floor?
Yes.
Tara had woken you up?
Yes, after she heard her door slam.
Is that something you heard, or that's information Tara's telling you?
I don't recall if I heard it, but I know that I woke up a little bit when she got up.
And at some point she comes back and tells you some information?
Yes.
What do you do then?
I go downstairs and see what the hell she's talking about, and I can't see anything, so we go back upstairs and contemplate what the heck to do.
What do you do specifically when you go downstairs?
I went to the basement and observed the bucket that she said, but I don't know, my mind blocked it out, but all I seen was like hair like an animal, or so I didn't know what the heck.
The bucket that you remember seeing, is that typically located right next to the stairs there?
No, it just happened to be there that day.
So after you see that stuff in the basement, contemplate what to do, I think you said?
Yeah, we go back up to the second floor bedroom, and I called the police station, and it took me a while to get through. I didn't call 911 because I wasn't sure what was going on yet at this point.
If, you know, it's a ways away, but if you can remember, from when you kind of remember getting woke up when Tara got up to the time you call the police, are you able to approximate how long a time we're talking about?
Within 30 minutes. I can't really say exactly, but it was within 30 minutes. I mean, she woke me up, went downstairs, went back upstairs, and then took me about 10 minutes to get through. Because I didn't call 911, I called the police department.
You got through to a dispatcher at some point?
Yes.
So after that point, did officers arrive at your home?
Yes, 2 uniformed officers.
Did you speak with them about sort of what you observed?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
did you go down to the police department then and speak further with officers?
Well, they had us put our phones on the table and then waited for, I think they escorted us to the Green Bay Police Department.
Thank you, Steve. Nothing further, Your Honor.
Cross-examination, Mr. Frelick.
Mr. Hendricks, good morning.
Good morning.
Shad Therian is the son of your girlfriend, Tara Pakinich, correct?
Yes.
He's not your son, right?
Right.
And he wasn't living at the 829 Stony Brook Lane property in February of 2022, was he?
No.
He lived with his father, Michael Therian, correct?
Correct.
he would come over to the residence on Stony Brook to eat, take a shower, do laundry, things like that?
Sure.
And to come and visit you and Tara, his mom?
Well, more Tara.
Okay. But you knew him, right?
Yes.
You had only met Taylor Shabizis one time before?
Prior to that, yes. Okay.
And that was a brief meeting, is that correct?
Yes.
And, sir, was it your understanding that Taylor Shabizis went to high school and maybe middle school with Shad Therian?
That was my understanding.
And that they went to high school at Bayport together, correct?
I understood that, yeah.
The last time you saw Shad Therian was when?
About 2 o'clock in the morning on Monday night, going into Tuesday.
February 21st of 2022?
22nd, it was one of them.
Okay. On that Monday?
I believe so, Monday.
And was it your testimony that you went to the courthouse Bar and Grill in Green Bay with your girlfriend Tara Pakinich and then with Shad Therian?
Yes.
Okay. You had some dinner there, correct?
Yes. Okay. Appetizers.
Okay. Some drinks?
Yep.
And then you came back home to Stony Brook?
Yes.
And then at some point did Shad leave the residence then?
Yes.
Do you know what time?
Not exactly. It's still light out.
Okay. Was it your understanding that Shad was picked up by someone?
Yes.
Who was that?
Taylor.
Okay. So she picked him up and they left together?
Yes.
Was anybody else with him?
Not that I know of, no.
Okay. And then you didn't see him again?
Not until late that night.
On February 22nd of 2022?
Yeah, I think that's where it would be 22nd by then because it was after midnight. Yeah.
Okay. So you heard some pounding on the side door?
No, I heard the doorbell ring 6 times.
Okay. That's kind of his clue to be let in, correct?
Yeah, it's key.
And so then you came down and you opened the door?
Yes.
And is it your testimony that Taylor Shabizis and Shad Therian then went right down the basement?
Yes.
And you were tired, so you went back upstairs to bed, right?
I went upstairs, yes.
Yeah. You remember when the police came to your house on February 23rd of 2022, correct?
Yes.
You were waiting for them, correct?
Yes.
You're the one that actually called 911?
Yes. I didn't call 911. I called the police department.
Okay. You called the Green Bay Police Department, not emergency line?
Not emergency line, yes.
Okay. And then you asked to have someone come over?
Yep.
And then do you recall meeting with an officer or officers at
the
door?
Yes, 2 officers. Okay.
And that's at that side door, correct?
Correct.
And the side door to the house is like right by the driveway, correct?
Correct.
Now, on this particular night, there are vehicles in the driveway, correct?
Correct.
Whose vehicles were they, sir?
Tara's and mine.
Okay. What kind of car do you have?
I have a Forester.
Okay. And Tara?
She has a Volkswagen.
Okay. And they were parked like off the side door in the driveway?
Yes, in the driveway, yes.
Any other vehicles in the driveway?
No. Okay. Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. And then you talked to the officers, correct?
Yes.
And you told them what you knew, or is that correct?
Yes, and then they went down and took a look themselves.
Okay. They went down in the basement?
Yep.
And where did you go?
I sat at the table where they told us not to move.
Okay, and you followed directions, correct?
Yes.
And where was Tara Pakinich? Was she sitting
right
at the table?
To me. Okay. Yes.
And when did Ava Wheelock get up?
I didn't even know she was there at the time. And right around the time they came over, I didn't realize she was even there yet.
Okay. Did she come and sit at the kitchen table as well?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have issues with your vision?
A little bit.
If you don't have glasses on, do you have a hard time seeing?
Yes.
Okay. Glasses help, right?
Yeah, for reading, yes.
Okay, sure. If you don't have the glasses on, is it difficult to see real far?
No.
Okay. Are you nearsighted or farsighted?
I'm just getting old.
Okay. as far as like as far as you can see, just, can you give me like a
just
distance?
Just words are blurry. Other than that, I can see you just fine.
Okay. And on this particular night, February 23rd of 2022, when you went down the stairs, sir,
yeah.
You didn't have any cheaters or glasses, right?
No.
Everything was kind of blurry?
Yeah.
And you thought that maybe Tara Pakinich was seeing things, is that correct?
Having mental issues, I don't know if she was hallucinating or anything like that. It's just, I got woke up out of dead sleep and I'm tripping out now.
You were pretty stressed out, fair?
Well, yeah. She wakes me up crying, telling me she found her son's head in a bucket. Yeah, a little disturbing.
When you were, when she was trying to wake you up, were you in a dead sleep?
Not really. I mean, I was sleeping, but I was aware that I needed to get up.
Okay. And is it your testimony that when you looked in the bucket, you couldn't tell what it was, correct?
Correct.
And after you and Tara Pakinich talked, did you talk in the kitchen? You know, after you went to the basement and you came back up, and did you talk with her in the kitchen?
We went back up to the bedroom. That's where my phone was.
Oh, okay. And then you kind of contemplated on what to do?
Yeah.
You didn't know if you should call 911 or not?
I didn't know whether to call 911 or so I just called the police department because I didn't want them screaming in sirens and all that crap.
Okay. All right. How long after you made that call did it take for the police officers to get there?
It was late at night, probably 10 minutes, not even.
Okay. Did anybody move the bucket at all?
No.
Did you move the bucket?
Nope.
Okay, nothing further. Thank you.
Can you redirect?
No, Your Honor, thank you.
Okay, you can step down, sir. Thank you.
And then I'd ask the witness be excused from any subpoena and sequestration order, Your Honor.
Any objection?
No objection.
All right, he's released from the sequestration order. Your next witness, then?
State calls Tara Pakinich.
Ma'am, if you want to step right up here, and before you have a seat, turn and face her and raise your right hand. She'll place you under oath.
You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in the matter, not before the court, so help you God.
Yes.
Please have a seat and state your name for the record.
Tara Pakinich.
Okay, then the witness is yours, Mr. Saunders.
Can we have a brief sidebar, Your Honor?
You may.
You're listening to True Crime Today in the Hidden Killers podcast continuous coverage of the trial of Taylor Shabusiness, Nightmare in Wisconsin.
Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage.
More raw trial audio next.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery, but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's the Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.